106.
We moved to channel 106.
106. I am your otherworldly GM, John Spawn.
Path, not Pathfinder. Starfinder.
Starfinder. That was Will Garrett on the samples there. And we got Kevin Decker.
Kevin Decker.
And Benny Richard.
Hey, you guys remember that time I offed my own character to bring the adventure?
We'll get there in a minute. We'll get there. Last time, we got a little few things to move through, and I know you want to get there, and I do too. But I just want to say, first of all, thank you to Taco Monk, one of our subscribers.
Yeah.
You submitted one of our new features, is the suggestive banter topic. And we did talk about it last week and didn't realize, because your suggestion was, what is a real life conspiracy theory that you like? And we inadvertently talked about it. So I just want to tell you, that was awesome.
Entirely
was a great idea.
Read your mind.
Totally. It was with definitely on purpose.
Consulted the list before recording.
It was subliminally inserted into our banter.
I did read it when it first came in.
Right, exactly. John read it, was like, that's a great idea, and then took it as his own and stole it. So now we're making John admit.
We took the idea, and we took the episode, and we just, like, put it right in.
We just stuck it right in. That is how music copyright, that's how cases get settled, right? Is, were you listening to it? And then you came up with a theme that was eerily similar. With that, though, I want to say that there is another... banner topic that we have that I want to shout out, and I'm going to read it verbatim, and you can tell me who you think it's from. Quote, favorite fast food joint? Have y'all done that already? Favorite beverage? I don't know. Y'all are fun to listen to, but I really don't care about the banter.
What?
Who would that
who else
be?
Could that
it's,
be?
Well, it's not Adam. Maybe it's Jeremy's been like on this like
binge.
It's
definitely Jeremy.
Like,
Thanks, Finder.
Jeremy, I didn't know you didn't like our banter, though. Oh, come
I
on.
Really don't care about the banter. He said that. I'm looking at those words.
Yeah, I think he's admitted that before to us.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, I just forgot. I forgot.
Hey, some people just like the to game. Go right into the game.
That's true.
See, that's... I have a hard time just because that's the opposite feedback I've gotten from everyone I've talked to about our show.
Yeah, most people like just banter, like,
yeah, I love the banter. Finder. You guys have really fun dialogue and like good questions and you answer them really well. But like, I don't know about the game because I'm not really a TTRPG fan, which I...
Who
I,
are these people? These
I clearly need to upgrade my friend group. I get it.
Wow, they share a lot of baggage with you.
Really in-depth. That's detailed.
But also, like, yeah, banter is really popular in the people that I ask about our show.
Some people just want to listen to banter all the time. We should maybe have a sideshow someday where it's just bantering about random bullshit.
I've thought about a banter supercut. Just like go back through and bundle like four or five episodes together into a sub show.
Yeah. Some people do
just
that.
Just like us talking about shit.
It's a good idea. Do you know the stuff that like
it's a good idea.
Makes doesn't make
tool
the cut?
Preferences, carpentry tricks, mechanic tricks.
We talked about.
I mean, like, we've talked it all.
We've talked. I mean, look,
food.
I think
obviously,
we've talked favorite fast food joint.
Fast
right?
food joints. Come on, oh, you love food. An Arby's.
What did you say?
You love
Thank
an
you.
Arby's.
Yes.
I know this from I know facts about my friends because of these banter topics, and I feel richer
and,
for
and
it.
And the Discord reinforces it later on. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, so that was the question. What's your favorite fast food?
No, that was the first you guys question. Play the game.
Yes.
It was that. But because he said that, we're now going to go around and repeat what our favorite fast food is. And can I just say, I recently let STF know that I was very appreciative that in a season 2 episode, Adam came up with the name for a PC or for an NPC as Arby's. And I let them know graciously in the chat that I felt like that name doesn't get enough respect. So thank you for thank you for reinforcing it and putting it out into the infosphere of our world. You know,
Arby's nice. Gets unfairly,
thank you.
Like, thank you. I attacked. I don't get it.
Blighted. Yeah. It gets blighted because everyone's had one bad Arby experience.
I haven't had. I don't that know. Yet.
Arby's food is really not that good.
And they're
pretty bad. It's food. It's shaved it pink gel is what it is. But whatever.
Okay. So, let's like set the bar here, right? When you're going for fast food, you're not going for gourmet. Like, there's a really low bar for what fast food is, especially where there isn't like an In-N-Out or a Jack in the Box. There's not like a really good fast food option. Not here
in
Florida.
Jack Box?
So like,
because Zaxby's.
Zaxby's. Thank you,
Zaxby's.
Kev.
Zaxby's is fast casual. Zaxby's toes that line. Between like true proper fast food and like casual
Chipotle.
Food, but they happen to have a drive through. Zaxby's,
Steak and Shake,
Sonny's, Steak and Shake. All three of those have like you can get drive through, but it's so terrible compared to sitting in the restaurant and getting the
That's
food
true.
Fresh.
That's true.
That if you have the choice, you're gonna sit inside and eat it.
It's true.
A true fast food joint has a similar drive-through experience to sitting in the restaurant. And I think that's where I lose Arby's. Like the bun is so soggy by the time I get to where I'm going. The curly fries aren't nearly as crisp as they were.
Okay,
the Jamocha shake has lost its Jamocha.
I like the fries, that's about it. But
and I can't buy in. For those reasons, I'm out.
You're the Barbara Cochran of our like show here for sure.
Who is
like anything in your out. And then who's the one that complains the most for Kevin?
Guys.
I'm trying to think. Like it's probably Mr. Wonderful.
Fantastic.
Is that who it is? Yeah, Mr.
Guys.
Wonderful.
I don't remember.
What? Do not compare me to Kevin.
Oh, Kevin O'Leary. Oh my God! I didn't realize the parallel until just now.
Shark Tank. Yes. Which Shark Tank person am I? No.
That is a great banter for a different time.
Yeah.
I'm just putting in the chat how close Arby's is to the convention center.
Okay.
At Gen
Con. What is...
Dropping that knowledge.
What is the question that I'm actually answering? Or anything?
Favorite fast food.
Favorite Arby's. Yeah, what? Favorite thing to order at Arby's. That's what this is turning into.
Favorite fast food. See, that's tough because, like, I've got... So, like, if I get back
if
from
it's
a flight,
fast food, does, like, a taco stand count?
I'd say that's pretty fast, yeah.
Yeah, right? Or, like...
I don't know, I feel like people... Feels different.
Again,
feels
how different. Do we define fast food?
Yeah, what if I, like, just get out of my car...
I mean, yes, of course.
And then I grab it to go. That's fast food, right?
I feel like it needs to be defined within the, like, national... Like, can that
it has
particular
to be a chain?
Is...
It has to be a chain?
It's a chain... Designed for fast food
because people want to relate to it or something.
See, I disagree. I wholeheartedly disagree with that decision because
if it's a two restaurant chain, does that matter?
I don't think it does. So there's a place in Arlington over on the east side of Jacksonville called Trap House Chicken. We've talked about it a couple of times.
Yes,
THC.
I want to try the Trap
food
House
joint.
Chicken.
You cannot eat inside the place. You have to order it to go. That's fast food.
Thank you.
Okay.
Tell
so
me
according
I'm
to Wikipedia.
Wrong.
Fast food is a type of mass-produced food designed for commercial resale with a strong emphasis on speed of service.
Yeah, there
you speed go. Of service.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be national, does it?
Thank you.
A minimum amount of locations. You know
Two.
What I'm saying?
What's the minimum amount?
Yeah,
one,
what's
I
the
suppose?
Minimum amount? Two?
Not one.
What about when Portos count?
Five.
But not Portos.
Five.
I don't. Five. Ooh.
Five. Right?
Fine.
It's going. Wikipedia's diving rules. Deep. It's talking about frozen or preheated or pre-cooked
That's
ingredients.
That's what I'm saying. See? It's all,
Speaking of, my fast food options here in Maryland are pretty limited, I think, especially compared to Southern California. But Wendy's has become my favorite go-to.
Wendy's is solid.
Good.
I love Wendy's.
It's good, man. It's good.
Even though somebody was killed in the parking lot there, it's fine. It happens.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. People die every day.
What? People die every day.
Sometimes at Wendy's.
Was he like, sir, this is a Wendy's?
And then just like slowly bled out?
Because that's just like a terrible thing from the Wendy's.
Well, who would want to kill someone at a Wendy's? It's not, it's rude to like kill someone at a Wendy's.
I think it was a carjacking got bad is what it was.
Why is it rude? Why is it more rude to kill somebody at Wendy's than anywhere else?
Well, did he eat Wendy's first or after? Or like, did he get his Wendy's already is what I'm curious.
Did you eat? So like, if you show up, if you're okay, Assassins of the World, join our Discord.
Yo,
let us know.
Actually, don't do this.
The to-go bag.
There was actually a story about a guy who got caught recently who killed a man in his hotel room and then ate his food and then yeeted out.
Okay, that is another level of rudeness. Okay, your point is made, Kelly. I acquiesce. I was wrong.
Like you go to Wendy's to buy a triple square shaped thing, and then like someone just stabs you in the back, like before
well,
you even eat it.
Well, it's different if you kill somebody before they get to eat, than killing someone and then eating their lunch.
Who's the most likely to be an assassin?
That's so rude.
Because we should
thank
ask
you
them.
For this takeaway. This is the moral of episode 106. Don't eat the food after the assassination.
And if you're an assassin and you listen to our show, blink twice on Discord so we know who you are.
That's the very definition of insult to injury.
Wild. Wild.
I'm looking through our list of people. And I feel like
this is the BAU Kelly's profiling our Discord membership right now.
Okay, there's a guy named Mr. Goosh.
Based on their profile Goosh. Pictures, which are highly selected.
I don't want to like just profile someone, but
we'll just tapped out audibly.
This person has a ninja as their picture, so
he could be an assassin. Yeah.
So what's the takeaway?
Right. What is a takeaway?
If you are, please give us some advice on how to kill a giant maw tentacle person.
Yeah.
Yeah,
good times.
Please do, because good
God. Times. Yeah. Let's.
So, John, did the tentacled electro like sensitive creatures show up with a Wendy's bag?
Actually, that's a really good question.
Hey, John, here's free Wendy's. It's all good.
He's my best friend now. I think I know who the assassin is because I'm only going to say it because they're not even listening. It's Finder. Finder? He's not listening to the banter.
He does. He's just our wants adult friend Finder.
He's not
going to
know.
He's not
going to
know. That's true.
They're going to know.
They're going to know. Finder insults all right now.
No.
Nah, we
that's,
love
that's why he calls himself Finder. Don't be mean. Because he will find his targets.
Yeah. That's
he's
it.
He's a very
Finder. Cats and we're stars. Adults.
Yeah,
that's it.
It's a good
that's
thing that it. He's yeah called adult
so
friend fun.
If there's only four of us at Gen Con, we know why.
Kelly is traveling internationally between now and then, I'm sure.
Kelly will be traveling internationally
for a while. For a while. Yeah.
Oh
all
my
right.
God.
There's no getting around it. We got to play. Oh, yeah. Let's play.
Just no one wants to fight the tentacle thing.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
I want to point out this tentacle thing is like the Pokemon evolution version of the Hellhound we fought last week.
Did you look it up?
No, I didn't look it up. Okay. You told us.
I did tell you what it is.
They were associated, or they
right. They're the evolved version. Whatever. What is the evolved version of a hound of Telenasi?
They just turn into a giant
Telodius Tyndall.
Yeah. What's the evolved version of the hound of telemarketing?
The hound of telemarketing. What? I'm gonna give a recap.
Is that the Wolf of Wall Street? But
and it's gonna be brief.
I didn't get it. I'm sorry.
Like no, Kelly, like you understood the assignment 100%.
You did. Don't worry about it.
All right, John, go ahead. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Thank you. Thank you. You're fine. You're fine.
This is what happens when I drink too much. I'm so sorry.
We all need it for this ep. It's all good. I'm on my second glass of whiskey.
We're going to put on our serious faces.
Whiskey GM.
I don't have any alcohol right now.
No, it's fine. Whiskey GM is for this. Adam says.
I'm currently attending Migos Wake, and so it's just like
so
alcohol streaming from the heavens.
The end of last ep was the end of the ep two episodes ago when Lua appears with the Morrow Strike Forces. Shocker. You all are ready to take them on. Okay. Kev gives a little, not sure. You're pretty much ready to, like, take them out. You're okay. Possibly.
Migo already
the approach from all of you from your actions were, let's take him out. Migo steps up. Well, boom, throws a grenade. Yeah, please.
We're emotionally prepared, I guess.
I took that personally. Playing a Raxolite, I intrinsically trust Raxolites, and then just, like, I felt so betrayed by him and the 10 motherfuckers with him that, like, Migo is ready to throw down.
Good.
Now you know that we are your true friends, Migo. It is us, your non-Raxolite crew.
Right.
We're here
so
for you.
So you start heading for that. And I think it became clear after Cecil was yeeted across the map that there was something going on with that dark, shadowy
Well, map. Point of clarity.
I wrote yeet in my notes.
Cecil was yeeted or Cecil yeeted themselves?
Let's talk about it later. This creature comes out of this seam between worlds, giant paw leading up to tentacles in its face, and takes out Lua, wrings her dry like a wet towel, and casts her aside off the railing.
She did.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, her body, she was dead before her body hit the lava far below. Mm. And it's from there, I think it became clear when Kara was like, all right, I'm gonna back up. Kara, you did a lot of that calculus of, like, there's a lot going on. All the electronics around you are malfunctioning. The gate is starting to jump between three different locations. There is a door on the way out back the way that you came. It's starting to close slowly. You could leave. You could try and attack the creature. You can leave one of two different ways. Or you can go with something brand new because you all are creative motherfuckers. But I know you are. You notice that there is an explosive pack that landed near the platform. And that's when you also realize, and don't forget, all the Morrow Strike Force have demolitions on them as well. It's at that time that you're like, hey, I don't know what this creature is. I do remember the last one is the Hound of Tyndalos, and I've heard about other things that are larger than the Hound of Tyndalos that f***ed it up. This very well could be one of those things. Why it came through, why it happened, you may not know in your character's lives, or maybe you will. Migo takes down a Morrow Strike Force and then says, you know what? Let's ball.
You want to play? We'll play.
Let's play. The gall. The gall. It's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad.
The father, the son, and the audacity of Migo.
It's exactly... That's exactly it.
Migo, the Audacity 7.
Migo, the Audacity 7.
That's a good middle name. I like it, the Audacity.
It is.
Yeah. So we've got the situation and we've got the Audacity.
Also the hammer. That's an interesting thing. Yeah. I like it. There's a lot of good nicknames.
We're like
kind of
collecting
interchangeable
Halo 2 bosses.
Let's go back to the map. We have Kara and Cecil are on the platform next to the gate that is completely malfunctioning, locking in, de-locking in. Then you have the Vesk, who's barely alive, standing next to this creature. Boom and Migo might be flanking this creature. Is that possible? I think they might be flanking this creature. I
mean,
Archie. Oh,
sure, but does it matter?
Archie is up.
Yeah, it really doesn't.
Connected to the console. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, fuck you.
Archie.
There are nine.
I don't know. I think Archie might be on our side.
Maybe he's trying to create chaos. Don't play both sides of this, Kev.
it shut down.
Don't give me hope, like, Kev.
No, I hear you, Kevin. It could be that. Maybe Boom will try to... Never mind, I don't want to metagame. All right,
that's why John took so long to try to put it in our heads that Archie was fucked up.
Well, we'll see.
I just want to take a moment and just sit right there while I tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel-Air. and appreciate John's, like, 4D chess fuckery with each of our brains. None of us trust each other. None of us trust John. None of us trust these fucking NPCs that are running away. Like, there's so much paranoia in this one room that you could cut it with a knife.
I agree.
And it's singly attributable to Jonathan D. Swan.
Cheers. Jonathan. Thank you for that.
Wait, what does your D stand for?
Thank you, my dude. Can I tell them?
Deception.
I want to know.
Deceit.
No, let's... I think we talked about it before, but let's save it for later.
Ghost David.
Just
yeah, nope. Dennis.
Dennis. You just pick dentist. One and start calling me that name.
Crentist.
The dentist. Real quick, I do want to shout out, just as a note, I got my map from Fragmaps. I actually got my all of the maps for this that I came up with were absolutely influenced the way that this adventure has run, and I have gotten my maps from two different places, from Sezpeku, I'm probably saying it incorrectly, and Fragmaps. They've been incredible. I hope you all have enjoyed them. I enjoy just having them. I truthfully, well, honestly, before I like start doing some prep, I'll go through and like make sure and be like, yeah, that map looks cool. Like, does this map look like it's good? Yeah, it does. It's just nice.
This map is very cool.
Check it out.
And it's a cool map.
The fact that it's layered, right? So like you have a map that the gate is off. You have a map that the gate is on.
Right.
You have a map
that the gate's overloading. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely directly
influencing the way that you're writing this.
Right. That it was the same thing with the library and with the office, where there was a map where the doors were open or the secret door was closed. It was very cool. That white light in the bottom, I added in the like glow effect, obviously, but they added in that light and like the reflection on the glazing below. It's cool. It's very cool.
Hell yeah.
We got to get down to it.
Great work.
I want to say one thing. Amazing last episode. Artistry. In my notes, I have in all caps, Migo, what do you do? That was the prompt for it was your turn of round four. This time I have changed it. So as a reminder for everybody, Migo, what did you do?
So I think Migo sees the writing on the wall, right? Like this is an Omega level threat. Like this big motherfucker's gonna kill everyone. So Migo, as like, he recognizes that he himself is the tank. He has lived six lives before this one, still hasn't reached the bottom of those mysteries, and will likely live on as an android in another consciousness depending on what happens. And so because he appreciates his team and they've gone through all of these struggles, they've been his family over the last year or year and a half or however long the Stars team has existed. And so he's going to do whatever he can to give them the best opportunity to get out alive and live on. And that's it. Like, that's the bottom line for him. So he's going to... Hey! You ugly... Let's try this hammer on for size. And he steps right up to the big tentacly electric monster and does what the hammer does.
And
yes.
Did you say you took an attack, or you just, what do you do?
Well, so he took a guarded step to get away from the mercenaries,
and then a regular step
toward the monster. That regular step provokes an attack of opportunity.
Yes it does. Okay. The creature sees you. And I think your curiosity about what it's like to incorporate other experiences, other lives, other abilities into your own. When this creature looks down and sees you calling its attention, for a brief second, part of your brain starts to see what it's like to see into both the drift and the material plane and the plane of time. all at the same time. And maybe there's a bit of satisfaction with that. Just from looking for a brief instant, and you feel like, I don't know that I ever would have seen this. That's long enough for you not to see that a claw comes and takes you down. Let's see how many points of damage it does. Please. Yes.
Hi. Is there any benefit to him being a construct for this mental ability?
The mental ability was all flavor.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, you're just getting swiped down.
You're getting dogged down here.
Does this attack roll start with a 3?
Sorry, what do you mean? What are you saying?
Is this in the 30s?
3.
It starts with an I didn't do an attack roll, because I don't need to.
What the fuck? It's a plus 30, is what he's saying.
This is one of those f*** around and find out rolls.
Okay. What is your maximum hit points?
When John says K, you know it's going down. Max hit points, 28.
The claw comes down, hits you, and then smushes you into the ground. I'm not saying you're taking falling damage, but I'm saying this is like just like physically, it hits the ground so hard that there is a, and everyone feels for a brief second the tremor, and realizing that this is a very old platform built long, long ago before its current purpose, as you have now taken 51 points of damage.
Woo!
What?
So, how many hit points did you have left?
I had 18.
So you subtract that.
So
you end up with negative.
For the listener, 51 minus 18 is 33, which is greater than my maximum hit points by about 5. Making Migo instantly paced.
Migo 7 dies, hopefully faster than he could realize the brief glimpse of something beyond this world.
So as the claw comes down and Migo sees the seventh iteration of his consciousness coming to an end, he relives the highlights of the STARS team and all of those kidnappings we solved and came so desperately close to catching perpetrators for and catching the kidnappers for. He imagines Remy's family. He imagines Boom and his joy at getting the bean counting right.
That's the only memory he has of Boom.
And the desk.
And all of the desks over the last 2 years that Boom's destroyed. He imagines Kara and how he imagined the leader he would become under her tutelage, and how none of that will happen for Migo 7. But that might happen for Migo 8.
Or not. But, you know.
And and finally...
none of us would imagine a leader. But I like
Boom.
You, Boom.
What?
I like you. I'm sorry. Never mind. I shouldn't have said that. I didn't mean it.
Benny?
I didn't mean it, Benny.
Finally, he imagines the escape that he's facilitating for the rest of the STARS team. Because STARS is a team. Mm-hmm. And not just the hammer and the leader and the grenadier and the soldier.
Yeah. That's very beautiful.
And then the light goes out in Migo Simmons' eyes. And combat must continue.
We can't just move on from this. This is the first death we've had on the show.
Yeah, that's right. Besides, I don't know. I can't think.
It's the first death we've had on the show.
Yeah, it's the first one that we've ever had.
We've definitely never killed off another cast member, that's for sure.
Yep. But no, like, seriously, this is the first, like, real in-game...
We want to be really clear about something. Vinny's coming back, okay?
First real in-game death we've had. Holy man.
Wait, again, rules question. So he got... because it was that much over, he's dead. He can't do death saves.
Massive damage rules.
Once they hit zero, if it's greater than your total hit points, you instantly die.
It was close. Like, if it was 3 points less, he would just be unconscious and could stabilize and come back. God. But
I'll just tell you, it's a 6d8 plus 22.
Jesus Christ.
That's how much damage you do?
And cool. I want to talk about this before I forget, is these things are time monsters, essentially.
We'll get into it later.
I don't know if we want to get into it later.
This feels like a plot armor discussion. From a metagaming perspective, like Migo absolutely would have sacrificed himself, but also like this was from a metagaming perspective, like Migo took his AOO so that you guys could fucking run.
Exactly.
Oh yeah. I fully appreciate that.
Can I clarify? Just so we're all clear. Because I don't like it when there's a death and then something's not clear. They don't have an AOO until their next turn, or is it until the top of the next round? You see what I'm saying?
Because it's the next round and we're all gonna die? I don't know.
No, because there's still time before the end of the next round, so I just want to make it clear.
I think it's you don't get until you get your reaction back on your turn, I believe.
Until you act again.
Right. So, I mean, it sucks, but like basically Migo took that so that none of us we all could get it away.
There's a reason why some of this music is a little like inspirational, because Migo did some fucking cool stuff there. That was a big...
Migo, you fool.
That was a big team.
Fool of a kind. Fool.
Fool of a tough. Migo 7 is dead. It is... I hate that thumbs up.
Just turn it off.
It's really killing me.
Just I gotta turn it off.
We need to later. All right.
It takes. You just click on the thing and then turn it off.
Okay. I'll do it later. The Vesk IFF agent. I'm gonna roll and see. They're either gonna go one way or they're gonna go the other way. Okay. They run for the door. They are able to get...
It's pretty smart, I guess.
They're able to get right up next to Boom and start running for the door. I just want to note for Kara and Cecil, there's a crack that starts to appear along the platform with that hit that killed Migo. There's a crack that starts to appear.
Okay.
And the Vesk IFF agent is running outside. It is Boom's turn. Your teammate on the other side of you has perished.
Where is this door?
Speaking
of,
like 10 feet to your
right, the Vesk is running. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
the door that it came out of, it's going through. Oh, okay.
And right, that cool. door is closing. You could probably do an engineering check to gauge how long it is. Yeah, how many rounds it has before it's going to close.
Is it a different world yet, besides the world that he came from? You know what I'm saying? Has it switched yet to be the other thing? You know how every round it switches or whatever? Yeah. To like
a vibration of the three. It's not every round. It's going to be that if you go through, it's going to be like I'm going to roll and see which one you go through. You know, see wherever you land up. But it's changing fast enough that you could wait a second and then jump in. And then you could wait 2 seconds and then it's going to jump in. So in the span of one round, it could be any of those.
It's 6 seconds, right? So it switches like every 2 seconds, what you're saying.
I don't know what to do. So I know that Boom can now get away thanks to Migo's sacrifice without doing a guarded step.
Yes. Correct? You can get out the door. Yes. Uh-huh. Kara and Cecil are 75 feet away from you, close to the gate.
You keep saying get out the door as if this is a good thing to do, which maybe it is. I mean, it would be a new adventure. I mean, Migo's experiencing the adventure of death. And, like, you know, Boom could experience the adventure of going through some portal, I guess. Like, so... God dang it. Okay, does Boom think that this, like, tentacle thing can make it up to this platform up here where Archie is and, like, attack him?
Give me a wisdom check. Just roll and add your wisdom modifier there. Boom.
Where are you going with this?
Hold on. Let's see. Wisdom. Give me a second.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, baby. It's just a D20 and it's really slow. There we go. What is Boom's wisdom check? It is a 7.
Why wouldn't you just run away? I don't understand.
So you don't know.
We go along, I want to call out something specifically in the rules called the run action. You can move in a straight line 4 times.
Yeah, this is, I think John fucked me and Kara. Read the next part of that.
You gain the flat-footed condition, and you can't run if you must cross difficult terrain or can't see
like
where you're going.
Like a giant crack in the
platform. Is that difficult terrain?
No.
Oh, good. Okay, then we're good. Yeah, yeah. But Kelly, why aren't you just running? I don't understand. What are you trying to do? Tell us.
Because Boom's wondering if like he can like help, like if there's something he can do up there where Archie is to maybe help get this thing back in the gate. I don't know. He doesn't want to abandon his friends.
Well, this thing didn't come from the gate.
I thought it came out of the gate.
It materialized in the room. Oh, just like me.
All right. Boom.
Yeah, it's just like a slice in the drift or something.
Yeah, Boom could make it out. Boom could make it to Cecil and Kara, maybe. If you double move, you could be closer. Or you could make it out. And making it out might be important for information and accountability.
Yeah.
It's kind of unclear what Archie is doing, where that information is going to go.
Boom is like just like looking at Migo sadly, like his like his cigar like just dropped out of his mouth, and it's his, and he's just like fucking like, oh my god, because like he did not see that coming. And then he sees like his two compadres just over there on that glass that's cracking, and he thinks that maybe if he can get through the gate, he can fire back through it and try to draw that monster out at some point. It's an idea. He doesn't really know. He knows he can't hit it, but maybe he can try to distract it or pull its attention. So he's going to run through the gate. I can't believe I'm saying
this.
To
the gate?
Wait, sorry. Wait, what?
The door, whatever. The door, gate, I don't know.
The gate's door.
The gate's on the one side, and that's what's pulling us all through. That's going to kill us. And then the door is on the other side.
Well, we don't know it's going to kill us, but that's what Huxley... Yeah, anyways.
Well, that's what she said it would do. We would die, and then our bodies or our nanocytes or whatever would be.
Okay. I want to clarify something because it's important for your characters to know this.
I don't have enough information.
Yeah. You don't know that, Kevin. It is locked on to a. I never said that the gate will take your nanites from your body. I never said that.
That's what we assume.
That's what you assume.
Go back in my notes. It says it's quote nanocytes from your body.
She wants to take nanocytes from your body after you die. I never said that the gate would do that. With that said, there are 3 different locations that this gate is locking onto. Do with that information what you want.
Also, rule number 1 of kidnapping is don't go to a secondary location. Migo says from the grave.
Where is the door going to then?
That's the way we came in.
Yeah,
the way you came in.
Just back out. No.
This isn't happening. I misunderstood. Okay, so, all right. So instead of that, Boom is going to... I have no idea what the is going to happen. Boom's not abandoning his friends, so he's going to go over and, like, try to turn off, like, the pole that Archie, like, has on there. Okay? I mean, like, because he... It's okay. Just what he would do, even though it's like Kelly, I'm not entirely sure that that's like the wisest thing to do. We probably should go through the goddamn gate. He's going to shout to them, what do you think we should do? Should we go through the gate together, arm in arm, and try to face
get
what
out
this
of
is,
this.
Or do you want me to turn it off?
There's one response. Who's responding? Kara?
Yeah, I think Kara would just say, like, save yourself. Go for the door. We're going to try and distract the Ma with these explosives.
I forgot about them.
As we run for it.
And they keep having to roll whatever checks to like make sure that they don't get pulled in, correct, right now? Because Archie turned it back on?
No. I think that was Leon.
Leon is still in the fucking room somewhere.
That went away.
Well, I thought he turned it back
when
on.
When the whole system went down, which is why you're not seeing it. Plus, you all already passed this check, so you're fine.
Kelly, that we can do an engineering check to find out where it's targeting? You're saying the gate is targeting 3 locations. Is it targeting 3 people or locations?
Probably locations, because he said locations and not people.
Yeah.
Right. So is there a way for us to know where those locations are? Because they're not like highlighted on the map currently.
Boom already went through and could not see where that was on the console.
I have no idea what to do. I'm sorry. I just don't know.
Might I respectfully recommend getting the f*** out of here?
Concur.
it just doesn't that seem my like character's what he would do.
Like, sacrifice wouldn't be in vain.
It just doesn't seem like something he would do. He's gonna try to do something on the other side of the door. He's not just gonna like leave.
Okay.
I've so never done combat through doorways before, but he goes out the door, I guess.
And the door is closing.
Good okay. God.
How long do we have? Kara might yell.
The door's closing, you said. It's like completely closed?
No. It has time, right? It's like
the door started closing. When it
can he fire through the door? Just to distract it.
There's still space to fire through the door.
I don't know if it even like, you know, distracts this thing. All right.
How much time do we have?
I'm sorry. It's really, 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 really laggy right now. Okay, here we go.
It just started moving.
Kara is asking you how long is it going to be for the,
I didn't hear the door fully closed. I didn't hear it because I was too busy like facepalming at Hero Lab. Okay, cool. It's not going to do anything. It's just like six, but he's firing bullets. So it's like six to hit, which won't hit, but he hopes that might help.
You're trying to distract this thing.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. And then he's going to go up and he's going to roll an engineering check in 3 minutes. Here we go. So rolling right now.
This is going to be close by then.
And here we go. It's a plus 10. So he rolled a
29
engineering.
Yeah. You were confident.
For the door thing.
You were confident that it will close. It started this round. This is round 5. Mm-hmm. It started on the turn of this creature. It will close in 3 rounds.
It will close in a round is 6 minutes, you said?
No.
6 seconds.
3 minutes.
18 seconds.
18 seconds. About 18 seconds.
It's like a power safe close or like a power fail close where it's just like going really slowly.
I'm going to try to pull its attention. I don't know if I can help get out of there somehow.
Okay. Okay, so boom and sees me go sacrifice and gets out of there trying to pull attention, trying to do everything that you can do. I totally respect it. It's a hard choice, boom.
What the
hard choice, Kelly.
I feel so guilty.
It's no. Don't.
Survivor's
Cecil.
Guilt's coming real quick here.
Cecil, what are you doing?
Yeah, I think he's just going to turn to Kara and like give her this look of like, I'm fucking running. And he's going to tell her, like, you need to run. Run! And he's going to sprint at full speed for 60, 120 feet. Because run lets you run up to 4 times your distance.
Okay.
Tell me you're going to stop me somehow, John.
Okay, there you go. That solves the problem.
The only you can run up to 4 times your speed in a straight line, and there's no
impediment or difficult terrain.
Yeah. Difficult terrain.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, there's a wall where you're at, so you can't make it all the way out.
Where is the wall?
That's, here.
Yeah.
There's a wall right
there.
You
gotta run up, kind of like by the vest.
If I use this,
you
it's not a straight
out.
Line.
You can run as you could run straight and let me draw a line here. Let me see if I can draw something here. Can I draw straight? Boom! Like you see what I'm saying? Like you could probably get like here, and by that I mean I'm drawing a diagonal line that would allow you. You do have to go down steps. I'm going to say that's not a problem, but you can just thread the needle between this platform and the corner there.
But this path, can you see my path that I'm highlighting?
No.
Oh, okay. Oops. Sorry, I didn't mean to move that. If I go, the wall goes all the way down to here. What?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a wall here.
Doesn't make
sense. Yeah. Let me move the creature for a second. See it? See where Migo is?
It's a wall.
Yeah. And if I do that, I'm not technically running into the wall.
This is.
Oh, you can't see the line. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Oh my God, it's actually moving me. Why is it moving? But it didn't move.
The problem is that you're down below, so I don't. Yeah, I see what you're saying. There is a creature there, but right. Yeah.
It's creature. It doesn't say anything about creatures. It says...
You're ignoring the...
Difficult terrain.
The section on occupied spaces by any creatures.
Where does it say that?
You can't run Stand through somebody. Flat footed.
You can pass through an enemy square.
You can't. You very specifically can't.
You could try and make it to the other side, I would say.
No fucking escape, man. This is feels so futile. Okay, I move right up to where the Vesk is. I waste a full turn to get right where the Vesk is at and still be within attack range of this damn
creature. 3 turns at least, and hopefully you can sneak out. I hope so.
If I don't get killed before then, I only have one hit and I'm dead.
Yeah. I need you to make a reflex save. You want to pass this.
Of course I do.
And I
don't.
20?
No, not at all. It's a 5 plus 1 for a total of 6. So I'm just going to move right back to where I was, huh?
You turn and start to move, and you can't. Your body won't move.
Yeah. What?
I failed my reflex save.
Is this from, like, the... I thought this thing was done.
I don't. It's Leora. It's whatever she did to me. Can I do a check to see what she did?
That action is wasted.
Could I, like, seeing this, give it a second thought, like, seeing Cecil just run by, but...
Cecil doesn't run. Cecil starts to move, and it's like your character running in one place. Like, you start to, and your body's like, I'm not going to leave the square.
Can you erase that line for me? Because now I'm just pissed. Seeing the line makes me angry.
It's fair.
Hey, okay. You guys remember when Migo sacrificed himself for no reason at all?
No, Boom is out. Boom was able to get out.
Okay.
And let's see if...
I tried to take advantage of it, and John was just like, no, no, no. Oh, by the way, no.
You were able to pass the check. It was possible. I'm not going to not have you, like...
Yeah.
Like, not be able to do that. Archie, something happens in Archie's system, and there's a... Archie starts to, like, sputter and flutter, and then crashes into the console, and the console starts to spark and move, and then Archie, like, flies off of the thing and lands down next to the Vesk, and for a brief second is just completely kaput. And the console itself is starting to short circuit, and you all feel this, like, as, like, you hear systems start to, like, respond to the short circuiting that is happening at the console.
A thrum.
That's Archie's turn. A thrum, as they say. It's round 6. It is
Leora's turn.
I told myself I wasn't going to say it is, but I did.
Oh, yeah. I meant to do a check to see where the f*** Leora is in this room. Doesn't matter. She's...
I can't see anything, I guess, because I'm out. That's kind of sad. So I hope everyone's going.
I hope everyone's good. I'll say this. Cecil, I need you to make another reflex save.
Me, man. 3.
Kara, you see about 10 feet away from you a
wisp.
What do you call it? A wisp. There's a sense of something as... Well, actually, would you? You would hear it, I think. You would possibly hear it. Cecil, you were thrown into the gate.
He's thrown into the gate.
Yeet!
Kara, you have just seen you've heard something from right near you.
Do I get a sense of where?
I think you just heard about 10 Cecil say run.
Yeah, but you did. That's hear Cecil say you hear. Run. You heard from this general area. I'm like kind of putting like 10, 15 feet kind of squares all around you of where that would be.
Well, Kara's...
And then, yeah. It's not your turn yet. That's the problem.
Sorry.
That's the problem. No, it's okay. It's okay. It is the creature's turn. This large creature. It grabs the Vesk. And it... Actually, you know what it does? Instead of the Vesk, it doesn't care about them. All the people making noise to the south, it just teleports down. And is immediately right on top of all these Morrow Strike forces and just grabs another one with his tongue, crushes its body, throws it over the side.
Consumes its life force.
Drains it of energy. Done. That is its turn. Kara, it's your turn. You have heard something near you. Maybe they moved. Cecil has been thrown through the gate. And Boom is on the other side of the door. That's going to close in 2 rounds. Archie is unconscious and has documented everything. That's happened so far and is unconscious. They might come back. They might not. Kevin,
can you? What happened to Cecil? Period. As he went through the gate, does he disappear? Does he fall through the side limp? Like what happened to Cecil?
Cecil goes through the gate and vanishes.
Okay, so he just disappears through the gate, like it's some kind of portal or something. Okay.
Migo is dead. There are strike team forces. Maybe you don't give a fuck about him.
Yeah. Migo, nope. Migo goes through a metaphorical gate.
Migo goes through a gate of his own.
Can we have like afterlife of Migo? Like take turns?
Maybe. He's an android. I'm assuming there's a creature Migo gate somewhere.
I don't want to spell out what to do for you. I just want to, like, there are options all around you of things to do, Kara.
Yeah. Kara, there's no way for, I can't like try to seek out an invisible enemy just like slashing in the darkness with a sword, right?
You can try and hit. You can always make a guess. The two things are you have to be aware of presence, which you are, and aware of location. So because you're aware of their presence near you, you could technically, you can make an attack, and I believe it has a concealment. Rules lawyers can challenge me on that. You also might not be in that location.
Yeah. I feel like it's a wasted, like you can only do it once, right? Like you can't do multiple. Right. Well, you could do two, I guess. But you can't move two. And like so you I could think also, what Kara is going to do is she's going to just try to casually slip down the stairs and grab those explosives that the Raxalite dropped.
Mm. Okay. I gave you all one of these. Let me navigate in my bag here, in my hero lab. I gave you all something that was like this. Let me look and see what it was. It was part of your standard kit because it's a good explosive.
It is a breaching charge?
No, it's not. It's not. Is it a breaching charge? Shit. I'm
phase rod?
No, it wasn't a phase rod. It wasn't a jammer charge.
Would I see that actually? Like, is it useless or is it? Like
no,
cool.
It absolutely could do some damage if you wanted to do some damage.
Migo was kicking around, like, dropping a breaching charge in the center of the monster to see what would happen if they just, like, imploded the floor beneath it and also the monster itself. But
it's a breaching charge. Yeah, fair.
Okay, so it is a breaching charge.
And the place that you're at in the platform is above the... Yeah, the... it's cantilevered out over the edge.
So it would destroy the platform the gate's on?
Likely.
Highly likely? Well, shit. That's a suitable enough distraction, maybe, too. I'm gonna just, let's freaking send it.
Let's freaking send it.
Kara's gonna take these explosives out, and she's gonna just like arm them and toss them on this. Like it looks like the platform is. She's at the perfect point to place them for the platform to drop off. She's gonna maybe also too that the with this gate gone, this monster, this creature won't be drawn to this area.
It's a possibility.
She's gonna. What do I have to do to just?
I think using an item is like a move action. So you moved to pick it up, and you would set it down. Yeah. I think it. And do you? The problem is.
How do I turn it on?
Do you throw it? Do you just hold? Like, what does that look like?
I think she would.
Technically, like mechanically, like can you move, pick it up, start it, and then throw it? Or are you just trying to hold it yourself?
I'm just placing the charge. I haven't initiated it yet.
Ah, okay. Also, keep in mind, just want to call it out. There's a chance that if you go through the gate, you'll end up where Cecil is.
Yeah.
Wherever that is.
There might be death, too.
You'll end up somewhere else.
Listen, I'm just trying.
A better chance
that you'll end up somewhere else. You put an explosive in front of me, John. I'm gonna go boom.
Someone's got to go boom.
This one's for you, boom.
I'm still alive.
Who's going boom without you?
And then, I guess
you place
my
charge
turn.
Where?
at the, like, I guess where the stairwell is.
Okay, let's just call it this intersection here.
Yeah. I mean, that looks like the focal point, given the terrain. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sad, like, you now I think I'm seeing the same thing that Kelly's seeing, is this whole screen's grayed out, and all I see is your mouse cursors moving around.
Yeah.
But I know what's happening.
Okay, you place the charge about 5 feet away from you with the steps.
Yeah, and can I can't arm it, or isn't that an attack? Right?
To arm the charge? I don't think so.
Right? Or no?
I think you could set it off right now.
But I'm like, I couldn't keep moving. I'd have to.
I think it's an engineering check, isn't it?
Demolitions. I'm all for you doing this. I just want to.
Well, okay, question. This is a breaching charge. It's a shaped charge. Like, could I fire this safely? And it's for demolishing, like, it's for breaching. So you're supposed to, like, stand next to it, right?
I think you could probably stand next to it.
Yeah. Then she's gonna send it, bro.
She's gonna send it. Alrighty.
Fire.
You send it.
You can use an engineering to arm charge explosives, and you can trigger it with a detonator. So if you don't have a detonator, then you just have to charge it.
You probably have a detonator on you. I don't think then that would have been my fault in not adding one to you when I didn't know that. So that's, I'm not going to penalize you for that. Like, I feel like you would have one. Like, I feel like you all have done it before. It's fine.
I mean, you a breaching charge. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we do. We're stars.
You're the stars team. The cracks immediately appear in the joints that are holding this whole entire platform, and they crack, and immediately the platform starts to tip and fall down. And I'm going to say it will start falling this round, and it begins to separate from the platform that you are at.
Wait, so where's the cracks forming? I thought
the cracks are
the platform where the, like, the yellow and black is, right?
That's it's starting to form there.
Okay.
And it begins to fall. Some of that crack transfers into where you are.
Yeah, so I gotta run.
I don't know that you want to stay there and camp out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But cool. You might want to run next turn. As the platform begins to fall, it is the Morrow Strike Force team. They are continuing to bang against the door, firing at this creature. This creature takes out another one of them and flings it over the edge, grabs it with the tongue, flings it over the edge. Their numbers are starting to dwindle, and this creature has used an AOO as it was shooting at them. We're going to move over Migo. Sorry, Migo. It is the Vest's turn. They move up to you, Boom. And they're trying to get through. They're not going to attack you. They're going to try and get by you.
That's how I should. Boom lets them through. There's no point in f***ing around right now.
You let them through?
Yeah.
Okay.
Taking an attack of opportunity on the first one?
No. We have bigger fish to fry than, like, a random Vesk.
Sorry.
I mean, he's not trying to attack me, right? He's just trying to get the hell out because of the danger, right?
So,
yeah.
Are we saying that demolitions rules are applying here?
I'm okay that I think the rule of cool applies here in the sense that you are trying to blow this platform.
Yeah, and I think the demolitions rules are if you are trying to, like, prep a demolition and you are just, like, slapping it down and hitting start. So
okay,
it was old. It was crumbling anyway. The it was door like a moved. Baltimore Bridge.
Ooh,
too soon.
Too soon. Yeah. The door is closing. It is closed and is about halfway. You have let this Vesk guard go by, right, Boom?
That's fine,
You didn't do anything? Okay.
Nope.
Boom, it's your turn. What do you do?
Boom first wants to see, can this being move through this door? Is it large enough for it to move through?
It is f***ing huge. It is not...
Sorry. Does it have properties that allow it to move through? You know what I mean?
To attack the other Morrow Strike Force members.
Okay. Cool.
So if it wanted to get in this tiny staircase, maybe it's huge. It's probably not going to. Okay. Not that it knows.
So Boom is going to see, he wants to roll an engineering check to see if he can keep the door open a bit longer.
Give me an engineering check.
All right.
You need to roll high for this one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. because there are a lot of rounds, or there's around 60 feet between Kara and the door.
It's just a 15, John.
It doesn't work. You can try again next round.
Okay. We have basically one more round after this that the door will be open. Is that correct?
This is round 6. Uh-huh. Round 7. On round 8, the door will close.
Okay, so there's one more. Okay, got it. It will close at the end of round 8?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. Give me a second here. So is there anything that he can use to try to keep it open mechanically, like anything that he has?
You already tried.
Not okay. If I had a special item, but yeah, I don't think I do anyway.
And you could have used that. Keep in mind, you do have phase rods.
For sure. Yeah, I'm not sure what that does.
It can phase through material and seize, so you could maybe phase it through the mechanism and jam it.
Think on it.
Okay. All right.
Right?
I'm going to move
past...
Can I
do that in this round? I can't, right? Because I'd have to roll another engineering check while I do
right.
that, correct?
You already did that.
So next round.
Okay.
I'm going to move past... We're at Archie. Let's see what Archie does. I'm going to use my Norse Foundry die here. Okay. Archie sputters for a second. Like, moves a few feet kind of closer to the door. But ultimately is still down and unconscious. We're at the top of round 7. The combatants in this fight are falling off, so rounds are starting to move quicker. The platform is starting to fall. Kara, give me a perception check.
I got a natural 20 for a total of 27.
Nice.
Yeah, but I wasted a 20 on
it's fine.
Not a hit.
Okay.
But maybe.
You might get another 20. It's okay.
Maybe.
For a brief second, as it's falling, you see a spell being cast in the shape of a door, and then someone fall through the door.
Where? Just like
what?
Behind
falling
me?
Down. No. In the abyss below you.
Oh.
As the platform is starting to fall.
Yeah. Okay. Car is going to book it.
It's not your turn yet.
Oh.
It's the creature's turn. The creature...
It's gonna keep eating. Feeding, right?
It's gonna grab another Morrow Strike Force member on its turn, but it still has a reaction. What do you do, Kara?
Kara's gonna book it. Yeah.
Where do you run?
She's gonna double move 20 feet to here.
Where's here? Oh, yeah, I did. Yep, sorry. Okay, so...
That's the first movement.
Okay, that's the first movement.
And then second movement.
Okay. Kara, I'm going to make a roll here.
And I can I do it stealthily?
Would you like to try and sneak by the crazy?
I mean,
creature?
I'm really just fast walking. Like, how much of a sneak
fine.
Is it?
It's good. It's good. Yeah. It's okay. It's okay.
My feet are. Yeah, I'm like.
You're fairly certain that they would notice you if they cared about it.
Yeah. Okay.
How many HP and stamina do you have, Kara?
I have a few.
I really hate when a DM asks, how much HP and stamina do you have?
Okay. What's your max HP?
I have a couple. My max. Oh,
that's the one.
My max HP is 28.
Okay. Give me a fortitude save.
You should write in the notes right now. Kara
is does John him. Take two souls in a single episode is the question, really.
Only because he put this OP, like, huge creature in the room with us.
Okay.
Yeah?
23. Fortitude save. 18 on the die.
You needed a 24.
Oh, my God.
Are you f***ing with us right now? No. John is completely stone-faced.
His notes just say plus one. Just whatever they roll, plus one.
I don't know how many stamina points and hit points you have. You haven't taken a lot of damage this round.
No.
Maybe you're fine. You take 35 points of damage.
Oh, yeah. Brush that off. What happens?
Sure is knocked the fuck out. That's what happens.
As you're running, something in your mind feels like it's being torn and ripped in half, similar to what Migo felt, but it continues.
How do I apply hit points in...
And you're... As you are subject to its ripping gaze ability, as it sees you running.
Dang.
You needed a 24. What are you at?
I'm trying to do the math. Hold on. It was 35, right?
35.
They changed the interface on
on Hero Lab, right. And there's, I don't know what
there's
I'm doing.
Not a just damage click number stamina. 435, John.
You could type it in though.
335, okay, and then it just gives me like a 27, but it doesn't.
Let's do 30 and then five more.
No, but it doesn't. At? It doesn't do it correctly.
It's fine. What was your stamina at?
I was at full stamina, 32 points.
Okay, so then stamina's gone. You are down 3 hit points. That's it. That's it. Okay. You are 10 feet behind
Archie. Did you do that?
Me?
Yeah.
What? No. Do what? No. I didn't do anything. Kara runs, gets hit by this ripping gaze. Thankfully, you were good, but you are into your hit points. Archie is in front of you. Boom is standing. There is one more round that the door will be open. The platform is falling. It is now 20 to 30 feet, depending on its angle of fall in the moment that it's falling into this abyss. This creature is attacking the Morrow Strike forces and took an AOO on you. It's their turn. They are going to shoot at it, and it will take away another Morrow Strike force. There's only 5 of them yet left. A few of them have managed to start to pry the door open. Kev.
So the creature did the ripping gaze as a reaction?
Yeah.
To what?
To your movement.
You moving.
Okay. Well, that's fun.
What's your question, Kev?
That was my question.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to take the vest out of this combat. They are gone. They are running up the steps as fast as possible. Boom, it's your turn. What are you doing?
Boom is going to use the thing that Will mentioned, the phase rod, to try to see if he can keep the door open longer.
Okay. Give me an engineering check with your phase rod. I think you have 2 of them.
Sure.
Using a phase rod will reduce the DC for you trying to hold the door open a little longer.
Excellent. Boom really, really focuses. His brow furrows. As he can see a lot better, much better, he manages to, I think, get it with a 27.
A 27.
If it's not higher, if it's higher than that.
Where do you put the phase rods? Because it works.
Okay.
Right. It works. Where are the phase rods? You put them like in the side and then like so they're like going to push against the door?
Yeah, that's exactly what he does. Exactly as you described it.
Okay.
Because I've never used a phase rod before.
That's fine.
There you go. That sounds like
half of it will phase out and then into another plane. You put it through and then you turn it again and it will phase back. So it sticks into the side of the door.
It can go through material and then you like turn it off and then it becomes solid. Like it's infused into that material. Yeah, it's kind of cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool.
I wish I had something like that to go rock. Like.
Right? It's rad. It's a sweet thing.
How much longer can we keep the... How much...
One more round.
Can you sense? Okay. You have a little bit more time, so don't give up. I have another six seconds for you? 6 seconds for you, Sumi, but keep rushing. Keep rushing.
Okay.
If I make it.
Yeah.
Don't
give up. It's Archie's turn.
Okay, Archie, what are you gonna do?
It starts to float up and sputters and gets itself back and stable, but it can't move just yet, but it is able. It's back. It's functioning. It's the top of the next round.
I don't know how to feel about it because I don't know where his loyalties lie.
I know. The creature Archie's takes out up, another Morrow strike force as Archie is back up and running and able to move out. There are 4 strike force members left. The platform is a pretty far down the abyss now. And Kara Valtara, it's your turn. What are you going to do?
She's booking it for the door.
Okay.
She's booking got her sword out in case, like, I don't know, melee. But she's booking it.
She's booking it. Okay.
She's booking it. Booking it.
I think she gets there.
To the door.
Are you running or like what?
You were less than 30 feet away from the door. I think you can get away.
Yeah,
you
I can think get I just through walk the out. Door.
Yeah. Do you just grab Archie?
Walk? Huh?
Do you grab Archie? What do you do?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Come on, Archie. You walk out the door.
She just kicks it like a soccer ball.
Okay. Yeah. You walk
like,
out.
Bend
the
it
door.
Like Beckham.
Bend it like Beckham.
Send Archie through the door.
Boom, Archie. And Kara are through the door.
Yeah.
You have made it through. you all start running up.
Yeah. Or start, we should close the door, right? Or no? I mean, it doesn't matter. Okay. The thing can't get through the door, right?
Right as you're going through, you do hear the sound of the platform. Bang, bang, bang. Poof, poof, hitting against the pipes, these massive hollow pipes, and sending tones up. It is getting close to the abyss. And what will happen there? Who knows? You all run through. Do you want your phase rods, Boom? That's my only question for
we're
you.
We're all out now?
Yeah.
All of us?
Archie came out with you.
Oh, yeah.
He grabs them.
Cool. Boom will definitely take the phase rods.
If and we're all you out, start we're all out. Booking it up.
Well, we're a man
yeah.
down.
Two You're a man down.
And the Vest is
ahead of you.
Where's Cecil?
Wait. We promised to bring... Oh, no. That was Cecil's dead body back. We didn't promise anything for Migo. I just realized.
Okay.
So we're good.
We are going to black
you
out.
Still, you don't have Cecil's body, though. Fuck.
As you start running... We're going to black out, and I want you all to close your eyes.
Because my character is dead, or for other reasons?
Yeah.
Yep. Right.
Are we in like hell or something? Okay, let's do it.
The gate and the platform, what you don't see is that they fall into the geothermal abyss, tumbling, rotating, before finally hitting the surface of the dormant lava. It begins to bubble and starts rushing up the pressurized tube as this creature and the Maro Strike Force are still fighting, trying to leave and get out. And as it starts to envelop the platform that you were just at, this creature starts to get hit and phases away as the screams of the Maro Strike Force are drowned out by the pressure of this lava rushing to the surface. We cut to a serene, quiet setting at the top of Morrow's cliffs and watch as the rocks start to vibrate quickly, dust shooting up before cracks appear like a spider web across the ground, and a hot stream of lava bursts through the surface, shooting into the sunset sky of Akiton. We start to zoom back and see this fiery geyser spewing all of the fear, anger, and harm that was locked deep below, held by so many. And like a fountain, it begins to wane, but not before the lava spreads and creeps over the edge of the cliff, a large portion falling far into the city below, starting fires, and a good portion burning into the new Ringworks Morrow building, leaving a scarlet mark on the perpetrators of these crimes. We black out, and there's a flickering coming as we see Archie's camera coming online. Hands wrap around the lens. You see a screwdriver and tool start to open it up, and they turn Archie around. And through Archie's lens, through the shaky footage, we can start to see investigators, forensics, and scientists combing through the aftermath, identifying clues at the crime scene while Archie views safely from a nearby rooftop that looks over the new crater in the cliffside where the gate was. Now exposed, the whole path from gate to the building. The sky is filled with the last rays of sunlight that have left Morrow's trench for a month, as well as numerous firefighting copters coming in, going down deep below, fighting the fires that have emerged from this lava, evacuating Morrow's citizens, trying to control this disaster that has happened out of nowhere. We see Cecil. Or sorry, Boom, and jokes. We see Boom and Kara standing with blankets wrapped around them. The STARS team members, you're talking to medics, you're talking to detectives, faceless people recovering, trying to make out what just happened. And then we white out and see the door. And we see the door open from the inside. As Cecil returns to his family, Babis, his daughter, is in Zaysha's arms, laughing. Tonum, his son, runs up to him for a hug. Time starts to speed up, and we see this family happily living their lives. Cecil, you meet up with Kara and Boom and Miko at the station. You're chatting. Feels good. We see the blank seat of Migo 7 at his home, his Spartan apartment, filled with different experiments, different tools, different creatures, parts of them. And there's a whiskey glass sitting on the chair like he likes to have, waiting for him to come back. We fade to see Boom's eyes enlarge as he looks through specialized glasses at the inner workings of an explosive, and a sigh crosses Boom's face. His magnified eyes look past us, glazed over. We see Kara, maybe saying goodbye to her mom outside the Morrow station, who's maybe they're looking a little better. Kara has a sadness in her face, but she's there. Commander Bolt walks by into the busy Morrow police station, and then inside, sits at a desk and begins typing. Case S172, Cecil Remy Stars Ringworks. From recovered footage from Archie, it is clear that the Stars team, Lieutenant Lua Cultivator and Leora Huxley, have gone missing or are presumed dead by the hands of the Integrated Future Front. Namely, Miko and Cecil. Boom and Kara have made it out alive. Archie was able to catch the final moments of a creature appearing and taking out Miko, Cecil being sent into this gate. But something appears to have gone wrong. There are explosions, there are energy overloads, and then the platform, through Kara's work, falls, and quickly Archie is then taken out, and we've lost all footage afterwards as we recovered Archie. Their families appear safe for now. Miko, what relatives they had, and Cecil. The case is close. We cut to an overview of the Morrow Trench as the lights begin to start to go out one by one. First, in the distant parts of the cities, we see that Migo's chair is empty, and from his view, we see distant lights of Morrow go out. Then the lights in the neighborhood, and we cut to see Boom's equipment still hot. Then the lights on the street, we cut to see Kara talking to her mom. Vanish as the only light left is in the home of Cecil Remy, the lamp in the window next to Cecil's face. We cut to a shot of the real Cecil's face from above, eyes closed as we zoom out and see a small gray scanning light memory device scanning back and forth over his head, rewriting his memories. And a small monitor next to him indicating his vitals and a progress bar at 100% until his body begins to gently rock back and forth as we zoom out and see nanite tubes are pulled from bloody holes, careless, nothing like what was done at the beginning of this. It's not long until his body starts convulsing and we pan up, and we see the label Ringworks Industries Calorimetric Kineticist next to his table. The camera keeps moving up through the ceiling and onto an icy roof. We pan up to see a cold sun illuminating the snowy landscape of a remote planet. Blackout. Knock, knock, knock. We cut to a blue-gloved hand about to knock again on a sunlit door, and the camera zooms back just enough to see the brightly covered long-sleeve garment along the arm, the shoulder, and long purple hair. We can't see their face, but as the door opens, we see Zaish opening the door, and the sound of a baby, crying baby, starts to fill our ears. Oh, you're here early, Mari, right? Morrow's own, the one and only. How are we doing today? Ready for some fun at the factory? We are thrilled, right? We're thrilled, aren't we, Tonum? Here, come in, Mari, come in. And Tonum comes bounding into the living room as the door shuts behind Mari. Your hair is cool, he blurts out. Zaish, chides him and begins to sidestep into an open door to another room, looking back over her shoulder. Hey, so I was wondering, what is your policy on newborns? Can she come along? This is a lot, miss, like a last minute request. I couldn't reach anyone, and you can't always find good babysitters around here. She turns and steps into the room to pick up Babise and the baby bag. Of course, I understand. She is more than welcome, Mari says, as we hear the small sound of an electronic device coming online. Thank goodness, I've just been stressing about this all day. And starts to gasp as she turns around and her body freezes. Zaysha's body freezes, unable to move. There's a flash and a scanning light that comes across Zaysha's retinas as Leora Huxley says, Mari Mara will be here soon to take you and your daughter on the factory tour that you've won. Tonum's already on his way. It's been a pleasure working with you. We're so happy that you received this reward. She turns her head, lowers the device, and crouches down next to Tonum to say, Your mom will be... just a minute. Let's get a head start. I've got some candied jelly beans we can eat along the way. And we turn to look at the frozen Zaysha as we hear, behind the camera, the door open and close as Leora Huxley and Tonum walk out the door. And a minute later we hear another knock. Mari Morrow and the Beanstalks are here, and we're so excited to take you. And the audio starts to fade away as we pan back through Zaysha's apartment in front of the door as the knocking continues, and we black out, and that is our nano venture.
Wait.
You're an evil, evil bastard.
John. I think I know. I don't know. Hold on. Never mind. I'll wait. That was amazing.
I don't know where.
Thank you all for being fantastic stars, team. The one, the only, the best there is. Thank you all for being wonderful and playing through this adventure.
I can't believe I survived.
You survived. You almost didn't.
Thank you, John. That was brilliant.
Thank you, everyone.
I love
you guys.
That.
Vinny, for your sacrifice.
Thank you, Vinny, for your sacrifice.
Kevin, what is the name of Rick 19's son?
You already know.
Tonum.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to check.